Dr. Price, members of the faculty, members of the Board of Regents, brother pastors, wives, parents, and families of those who are graduating, and especially you, the members of the 1988 graduating class of Concordia Theological Seminary. You who are entering full-time church work and full-time service with the Lord, full-time service in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I would like to say to you tonight, welcome to the team. And the more I think about that, whenever I think about the concept of a team, it seems like there's going to be a lot of playing going on. And believe me, brothers, there's not going to be much playing in your lives in the next year. There's going to be a lot of work, because the Lord is calling you to work for Him. I don't find any place in the Word where it says play for Him, but He says work for Him, and there's a lot of work for you to do. Also, every time we think about a team these days, perhaps we're thinking about something like the Cardinals, or the Cubs, or the Vikings, or maybe the Redskins. And when we think about those kinds of teams, we're usually thinking about salaries that get into 5 and 6 figures. And that's not going to affect any of you either. So maybe instead of saying welcome to the team, maybe it would be much better for me to say to you, welcome to the Army. Then when I think about the Army, I immediately start thinking about fighting. And there's going to be a certain amount of fighting as far as your ministry is going on, because you're continually going to be fighting against all of the temptations that the real devil is going to be throwing in your way as you're trying to carry on a very positive ministry of God's people. He's real, and he's there. And he's going to put you in a situation where you're going to struggle continually with him. But I do pray that your relationship with those people that God will be entrusting into your care is not going to be any kind of a fighting relationship, but rather a God-pleasing relationship in which you and they will find a great deal of joy. So since I really can't say welcome to the team and can't say welcome to the Army, then maybe I should say welcome to the office. But then again, when we talk about office, we're usually thinking about a law firm, or perhaps a physician's group, or maybe some type of a corporate enterprise. Therefore, it all boils down for me to really say to you, in all sincerity and in all honesty, welcome to servanthood, the greatest servanthood that exists on God's earth. Welcome to servanthood. Welcome to that group of individuals who have given and committed their lives to be in service full-time to Jesus Christ. Service to His people. Service to individuals who are in need of hearing the Word and receiving that precious sacrament which comes to us from Jesus Christ. Welcome to service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. For you, my young friends, I suggest that this evening marks what seems to me to be the end of the beginning. The first phase of church work is always education, getting ready, getting prepared to do that which needs to be done, being trained in order that you can go forth and do the things that the Lord wants you to do. By God's grace, you're now certified. That means that this faculty has said to the church, you're ready, you're prepared academically to go out and have the privilege of sharing the gospel with God's people and bringing to them those sacraments which give the assurance of forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. You're qualified now to be pastors. You're qualified to be under shepherds. You're qualified to be individuals who will be willing to give their lives for the sheep if that's necessary in order that the work of the Lord might be able to move forward. Tonight, although you will continue to remember rivalry between Fort Wayne and St. Louis. Because tonight, you become a part of the team in which there's no time for rivalry, no room for rivalry, because all of us are involved in serving the great King and bringing the message that he wants us to proclaim to a world which is so seriously and so sorely in need of it. For you tonight, this is the end of the beginning. And I'd like to suggest that it's also the end of the beginning for the church. Not only the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but for all of Christendom. The second coming of Jesus Christ, known to scholars up behind me as the Parousia, when Jesus will return again, not as Savior, but as Judge, is not really far away. That second return of the Lord of Lords is getting closer with each breath that we take. When it's going to happen, I don't know. I'm no more of a prophet than what you are. But I do know, according to the signs that the Lord lays out in the Scriptures, that it's getting closer day by day by day. And that says to you and me that we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of people to contact. We've got a lot of people to share the word with. Because the Scripture also says that when all has been fulfilled, then the end will come. This is the time, then, not for sitting around in meetings. This is the time for not discussing strategy on how we're going to go out and proclaim the gospel. This is the time not for thinking about the best way to achieve it, but this is the time to get to work and to share the message of salvation with people before the end actually does come. And yet, my young friends, I'd like to suggest and share with you this evening that whenever the Lord returns, whether it be relatively soon or at quite some distance in time, some segment of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will be in meeting. Nevertheless, for the church, this also is the end of the beginning. Tonight also marks for you the beginning of the end. For some of you, this is first career. For others, it's second career. I'd like to suggest that it's a new career. And by God's grace, it will be your last career. There's a lot of time that you have immediately before you when you need to be filled with service to the great King. And I'm suggesting that as you have heard many stories about pastoral ministry, some good, some not so good, some joyful, some hair-raising, that all of pastoral ministry, whether it's filled with joy or filled with sorrow, is really going to be exactly what you want it to be and the way you look at it. If you look at pastoral ministry as a job, there's going to be more sorrow than there's going to be joy. But if you look at pastoral ministry as an opportunity to bring that which is real life to people, then even that which may temporarily be some type of a sorrow, ultimately will be forgotten. And you're only going to remember the joys that are very real, because you have the privilege of being chosen by God two times. Once in baptism, and secondly now, to get paid for doing that which he wants every one of us to be involved in, sharing the message of salvation with individuals. It's an opportunity for you to minister in a very special way. It's an opportunity for you to have the privilege of sharing your life with the sheep and the lambs of the flock of Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for you to share what you believe and what you know about Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Before very long, couple of weeks, couple of months, you're going to be receiving the greatest gift next to your wife that has ever been received by you in your life. And that's your first carriage. And that first carriage, God's people, will become, in a sense, your first No other parish will hold that spot in your heart as the first one does, because that's the one that was first when you were born again, and they accepted you in spite of your mistakes and loved you because you were a man of God who came to them to proclaim the mighty works of God. Whether that assignment then was one which received the oohs and the ahs in this building on the night of the call service, the oohs and the ahs as individuals were going to places like Colorado or California or Florida or New York, or whether they were the places that were just everybody was complacent about, their cornfields and soybean fields of Illinois and Iowa. Nevertheless, these are all God's people that he is giving to you, along with the privilege of ministering to them and sharing with them the wonderful works of God. I plead with you tonight that you never forget, as you are carrying on your ministry, to proclaim the gospel. It's not hard to proclaim the law. There will be many days when you can do that, and it'll be so easy it's almost a second thought for you to do. But people aren't saved by the law. They're saved by the gospel. And you can't assume that anybody knows it. And even though they may have heard it again and again and again, you need to tell it to them again and again and again. They need to hear that God loved this world so much that he sent the very best he had, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, not only into the world, but all the way to Calvary's cross. He loved you and he loved them so much that he let that only Son die for the sins that you and I and they have committed, in order that he, the great God, would be able to stand your account in mine and theirs, paid in full, so that he, the great God, could accept them in spite of the warts, in spite of the color, in spite of the sin. He accepts every one of us because of what Jesus, his only begotten Son, on Calvary's cross, did for each and every one of us. For you, tonight then marks the beginning of the end. The beginning of that last career, by God's grace, when you are going to proclaim the wonderful works of God. And for the church, and that's all of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, this also marks the beginning of the end. I referred to the parousia before, and until that really does happen, we're living in a time of tremendous opportunities to yet share with people what we know about Jesus Christ, that they, along with us, might come to faith and accept his Jesus as their own personal Savior. There are about 500,000 Koreans in the city of Los Angeles waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. There are about 500 to 600 international students on the campus of the University of Illinois waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. There are almost countless numbers of Hispanics in this country who are in need of hearing the gospel and are waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. There are millions of people in the prisons of our land who are not being ministered to and who are in need of hearing about God's love and his forgiveness in Jesus Christ. 51% of the population of the state of Illinois, and I don't know if the state that you're from is a lot different, but I suggest it probably isn't. 51% by statistic of the state of Illinois does not have saving faith in Jesus Christ. And only half of the 49% are really disciples. Almost the largest mission field in the world today is the United States of America. of the enemy to share the message with people that they can know Jesus as we do. And so the end of the beginning and the beginning of the end sounds almost like Revelation, doesn't it? Where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and that's where it really is in Jesus. Not here at the seminary. Not at any part of your life where you've been up until now, unless you've actually been involved in sharing the gospel with people in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where it's always been, and that's where it's always going to be. Welcome to serve. It's a joy.